Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Welcome to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. I have a few quick announcements, and I'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to host this call each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I launched this call back in 1998, and originally it was a 5 p.m. Eastern Standard call, then I eventually moved it to 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, and it has been at this time for 19 years. You can find all of my recorded calls going back to 2010 on podomatic.com. All of these calls are recorded and available the following day on podomatic.com. We also send out access to where you can download them on Facebook every Wednesday morning following the Tuesday night call. I'm very inspired to bring one of the most exceptional writers and a very highly controversial and inspirational speaker, G. Edward Griffin, to the call next Tuesday night. For those of you not familiar with his content, you can do a little previewing of what the call will be like. You can pick up his highly inspiring best-selling book. It's been a bestseller in the underground and the above-ground market going back to 1994. When I say underground, it means the content was not well known when he brought it out, and today many, many, many people have read that, and you can find that book in every Barnes & Noble in America, a fabulous book in the money section, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The History of the Federal Reserve Banking System. Now, I will bring Ed to our call next Tuesday night on October 17th. I have an exceptional call planned for the 24th. This is going to be a very unique call. It's going to be called On Detaching. That will be the 24th. I don't typically give away the call until the week of, but this is going to be a very unique and special call on what it really means to emotionally detach from a situation, from people, from events, from addictions that shape your beliefs, your anxieties, and all other situations that keep you avoiding your own success. That will be Tuesday, October 24th. I will be this week. I am on my way to Columbia, South Carolina for a team event. I have an open event next Saturday in Albany, New York. I want to thank my good friend, exceptional client, and Paizan Frank Pecoraro for hosting me in Albany for the third time. And I speak there at least two times a year. I'll be there two times next year at least. Frank is developing a great culture in upstate New York, and I know a few people are driving up from New Jersey to that event. On October 28th, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. November 11th, Orange County, California, and that will be with Marissa Campbell. Marissa is an exceptional woman, a former restaurateur, first-class producer, and Marissa is the host of my event, November 11th, in beautiful Orange County, California. That event is right at the John Wayne Airport in Orange County. November 18th, Joe DiBianca, the incomparable one, will be hosting me November 18th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That is one of my absolute favorite cities to speak in. I speak there 3 to 4 times a calendar year. December 2nd, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia. December 16th, Rye, New York. And I will finish the calendar year December 30th in Marina Del Rey. I will be sharing the stage that day with Brittany Cara. Brittany is an exceptional author, speaker, activist, internet marketer, network marketer, and the author of the highly inspiring book, The Silent Killer. Brittany is also a featured speaker at one of my intimate events called the Protege Writer Speakers Workshop. I will launch 2018, at the very first of the year, January 6th, I will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. January 13th, Dallas, Texas. Later in February, I will be in Orlando, Florida. So those are some of the events for the next 5 months, the calendar year 2017 and 2018. I also have a private group that you can join called Guilt Cleanse, that it has absolute great breakthrough content on how to release your guilt, anxiety, abandonment, rejection, challenges, and issues that keep you perpetuating the same set of feelings. That is a private group nearing 5,000 members. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Tonight's call is dedicated to the psychology of connecting. And connecting is really an art. It's a skill that to develop to be able to connect with others so you can also connect with yourself. To be connectable, you also have to be available. And there are terms like vulnerable. Now, vulnerable has more than one meaning. By being vulnerable, it doesn't mean you open yourself up to criticism. It doesn't mean you open yourself up to perpetrators and violators. That would be one definition, but the context that I'm covering with you tonight, being vulnerable means being open, being available, being genuine, authentic. Any series of words that means that you've taken your ego off. You're able to connect with people. You're able to articulate your feelings into words. If you grew up in a household where you had to shut down, you had to sit in the corner, sit on the couch, children are to be seen, not heard, don't say a word, don't embarrass us, don't make a mistake, why did you get a B when you should have gotten an A? If you grew up in a household where you have to absolutely shut down, if you're criticized, if you're controlled, if you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself, there's a high probability that you will have challenges connecting because of a story you hold on to based on past events. If you're someone who says, I have challenges writing, I have challenges being able to get the words out, I get tongue-tied, or any multitude of situations, I'm worried all the time, I don't like no, I don't want to be rejected, I don't want to fail, it's going to inhibit your ability to connect. Connecting begins with connecting with self and connecting with source. When you are one with, not separate from, when you are in your body, not in an outer body experience, where you are in the flow, not in resistance, where you are in the hands-free zone, not holding on to control, when you are one with, when you are innate, when you are emotionally available, when you are emotionally disconnected, when you live in an overwhelmed state, when you're not good enough, worried all the time, you've definitely disconnected from the opportunity to connect. Connecting doesn't mean you have to be vulnerable, but connecting means you're open emotionally to be able to receive, to be able to receive someone, to be able to connect with someone, to be able to ask them questions. Now, what inhibits and hinders a large percent of society is conditioned behavior, specifically about talking to strangers. Remember the song by Rick Springfield back in the 80s, Don't Talk to Strangers? Who's that? Don Juan. You've been thinking of, remember that song going back into that era? Well, don't talk to strangers. What does that actually mean? Well, what it means is don't open your up door. You might get abducted. You might get taken, any multitude of situations. When fear-mongering, when fear is instilled in us, when we are taught these situations, conditioned behaviors can become our personal reality, which can become our personality. And if you are shut down, overwhelmed, you have anxieties, anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. If guilt is a common emotion that drives your actions and your inactions, there's a high probability you are over-obligate yourself, enable people, do too much for others, and have challenges being able to have healthy boundaries. I'll cover some of this content on October 24th on the detachment call. But you want to be able to connect with people. You want to be able to connect with yourself. And in the ability to connect with yourself, you learn to go back-to-back days without being critical of self. If you are highly critical of yourself, judgmental of yourself, then you're disconnected from yourself. You're holding on to a set of beliefs based on a series of events that have you in a very low self-esteem. I wrote a very simple post today: to change your vibration, to raise your vibration, let go of your resistance. Let go of what you rebel against. Let go of what you hold on to. As you emotionally become consciously aware, as you become to live more in love, joy, bliss, as you begin to accept yourself, as you begin to love yourself, as you begin to live in a state of of emotion that's conducive to being able to feel rather than think. Now, your limbic brain is your right brain. That is where you're creative and innovative. That's where you're intuitive. That's where your extrasensory perception is. That's your ability to connect with source, infinite intelligence, the quantum field, the morphogenetic field, the Akashic records, the energetic field of knowledge, and the kind of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, that you're able to receive on command so you can disseminate when you're in a K-N-O-W state, no. But when you've been told no, N-O, when you get shut down, when you're told that money doesn't grow on trees, when you're told don't ask, when you constantly get shut down, you get criticized verbally, emotionally, physically, and or sexually abused, it's going to inhibit your ability to connect because you're disconnected. If you were violated, traumatized, at some point in your early conditioned behavior, there's a high probability your body checked out. You went into an outer body experience, left your body, and never really came back into it fully. A large percent of society holds on to feelings, and they live in short breath syndrome. It's a low level of fight or flight that they perpetuate throughout most of their day. Short breath syndrome also creates short breathing. In short breathing, you're not really accessing your body. It's going to inhibit your ability to answer a question because you're going to check out. It's going to take you about 3 to 8 seconds. The common sound out of your mouth will be followed by well. Your communication style will be filled with kindest, sortest, if and if I had to say. If I had to say, well, if you had to say, what would you say? I guess. I don't know. If this is your communication style, you are telegraphing your low self-esteem, your inability to connect, your inability to decide, your inability to connect, and your inability to be emotionally available. Now, you can have a job and actually hide behind your educational platform. You can hide in your job, in your low self-esteem, and perform admirably and perform tasks. But once you move into free enterprise, have the ability to create what the free market will bear, once you move into entrepreneurship, where you can live life on your terms and your time frame, for some people, it represents a contradiction. I'm not sure if I can put myself out there. What does that actually mean? Where is out there? Is that in the outfield? The outland, I mean, where is out there? It's a mythical place that your ego creates to actually stay in here so you're not out there, because being in here keeps you safe and disappointed. Being out there is the jungle. Now, if you're a rhino and you've entered the land of the jungle, then you have to learn jungle skills. And if you're a rhino, that means you're not going to move laterally. In the animal kingdom, the rhino moves at 35 miles an hour. They have challenges moving laterally. They're almost virtually blind. That means they operate by sense of smell and intuition. They have a very, very thick skin. They don't have to drink a lot of water. They don't have to eat a lot. They mate for life. They're very, very loyal. But if you're a rhino, you want to be able to go into the jungle and create jungle skills. And in the jungle, you have to be able to find the land of paradise. You virtually enter the jungle with a pocket knife, and you have to figure out how to leave with a machete and then eventually a chainsaw. You have to be that kind of creative. You have to blaze your own trail. And it's in that kind of situation that you're going to start to go from survival skills to skills where you flourish, to skills where you thrive. And one of the main skills that you master is the ability to ask questions. Now, you have to let go of don't pry in other people's affairs. Don't be nosy. Don't get your nose out of whack. Any multitude, what does that even mean, nose out of whack? I mean, a lot of the cliches that we are told are very, very interesting when you start to break down the origin of words. I was once driving in a prosperous neighborhood in St. Louis, Missouri, in a suburb called Ladue with someone that was one of my clients, and they said that we were in a hoity-toity neighborhood. Now, what does that actually mean? It means in French, it means snobbish, and what it really meant is that we were out of our element. I didn't feel out of my element, but that particular situation, that is what a person said because she felt less than or disconnected from. Many people have challenges connecting with people of influence and affluence because of the story they tell themselves. What you really want to understand is that many of the people you think are wealthy aren't. They may have a high self-confidence, but that doesn't mean that they have self-esteem or self-worth. Many people live in consumptive debt. in liability debt. It may look like they have the trappings of success, but they don't have the assets of success. You don't want to talk yourself out of a connection because you never know who will be your next rock star, superstar, top-tier producer, performer, someone who's effective at what they do. You want to stop robbing yourself of opportunities because of your low self-esteem and the story you tell yourself. You want to be able to embrace the process, step into the process of change, move into evolution, let go of the cause that creates the effect of the events that shape your feelings. When you live in low self-esteem, you're going to live in low vibration. You're going to have tendencies to relapse frequently back into familiar feelings. You will tend to use alcohol, food, consumptive spending, sex, anorexia, bulimia, under-earning, underachieving, codependence, dependence, any multitude of situations to suppress a feeling. As you begin to let go of why you do what you do, you have a better understanding of how to change your energy. As you begin to understand what you get compensated for in free enterprise, connecting becomes a key skill. Connecting is mastered by mastering your emotions. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that robbed you of your energy, your emotional vibration begins to change. Gradually, over a period of time, you will begin to attract to reality people and situations that are more in alignment with the self-esteem you're creating. When you live in a very low self-esteem, in an overwhelmed state, you'll attract your reality frequently people in situations that represent the low-hanging fruit of life. It means that your expectations are very low that matches your low energy. As you change your expectations, as you raise your standards, you don't ever raise your prices, you raise your value, you raise your standards. As you have a standard that's much more conducive in alignment with living the good life, you'll attract more frequently people who are in that type of energy. As you move into the law of alignment and you start to align with your purpose, you align with your clearly defined goals. The most common situations that people tell me when I ask them what their goals are, what their dreams are, what their aspirations are, here are the three most common answers. I want to help people, I want to travel, and I want freedom. Those are all answers, very nebulous, no clarity, no dedicated blocks of time devoted to that. It's what most people say what they think they're supposed to say. When you start to develop clarity, you start to connect with your dreams. When you're connected with your dreams, you can become one with. When you are so relaxed in a no state, when you know you will not be denied, when you're in that type of emotional alignment, you virtually can be two places at one time. You can be in your dream. You can actually shape-shift your emotional reality, your physical reality, where you are, and you can be so connected to the outcome. Now, that doesn't mean you're attached. It means you're connected from a no state. When you're attached, that means that you're dependent on it. But when you're independent, you can be in a no state and already be in the future while you're in the present. And you're so connected to who you are and what you're becoming, knowing who's going to show up from a lack of detachment because you are not attached, because you are so grounded in who you are, you live in a no state. When you know there's no attachment, you're not attached to the outcome because you've already created it. You know it's there. You're not hoping it happens. You're not trying for it happens. You live in a very relaxed body knowing it's inevitable. Now, in that type of state, there's no detachment and there's no attachment because it's done. When it's done before it's done, then you're one with. Then you're connected. When you're connected to source, that means you're in a direct line of emotional energy with the morphogenic field. In that type of energy, you're so relaxed in a released body that you're able to receive at a very high level and access content that you may not have ever read about, but because you're so grounded, you've been in other places and other spaces that you're able to receive at a very high level and then disseminate the content. And you may have seen speakers like that, is they can walk up on stage like they've been there. They're able to deliver content and walk out off the stage with no excitement. They're as cool as the other side of the pillow. They have ice in their veins. You may have seen athletic performers, people sing the national anthem, where they absolutely hold the microphone down. Marvin Gaye comes to mind in the 1983 All-Star Game in Los Angeles. If you ever Google that, that's one of the greatest national anthems I have ever seen. And when you see people who are so one with, they are connected. Now, to be able to connect with other human beings having a spiritual experience, seeking to attract the kind of people that can foster your feelings, then you are one with. And in that one with state, you are absolutely transmuting a set of feelings that are conducive to an outcome. And it's in that kind of outcome that you are able to connect. You're connecting by asking leading questions. You're able to ask yourself questions, you're able to ask other people's questions, and you're able to connect on an emotional level, a spiritual level. You're not anxious about asking questions, offending someone, making mistakes, getting in trouble, saying the wrong thing. When you're able to easily and effectively let go, then you are unequivocally in that zone. And when you are connected, in that type of connection, in many cultures, there's terms for it, when you're that kind of connected. In Jewish culture, it is called chutzpah. It means you have that. It's also called charisma. You have that kind of charisma energy. It's like you can walk into a room and people feel you. They notice you, not because of how you're dressed, although that may be a part of it, but the way you carry yourself. When you carry that kind of connectable energy, people want to be around you. This is when you're in that space and that type of energy, life seems to be much easier because you're in flow, you're not in resistance. When you resist the process, you're avoiding. You're avoiding because of the stories you tell yourself based on the events that were showcased that you weren't good enough. When you're not good enough, you're going to live in a very low self-esteem, telling yourself a series of stories, avoiding failing, which means ultimately avoiding success. As you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect, and you begin to connect with yourself, meaning that you can meditate on command in any given moment. You can turn off the emotional engine and be in a relaxed, released body. You're able to not get overwhelmed as frequently. You're not seduced as frequently. You're able to live and be in the hands-free zone. You're able to detach from situations and let people go without being consumed or worried about being criticized. And when someone says to you, "You make me feel," you can disconnect from that because you're connected with yourself, and you can state, "I'm not making you do anything. You're feeling what you feel." When you live in that kind of autonomy, you are connected with yourself, not from any arrogance, not from any ego, but from a one-with state that you are one with, meaning there's no separation. You don't get your cage rattled. You don't get overwhelmed. You don't want to prove people right. You don't have to argue with people. You don't type long comeback letters to people. You don't let people violate you. You're in an energy called equanimity, and it's in that equanimity state that there's no separation. And that separation, no separation, is why the parking space is there. Perfect case in point, I went to dinner Sunday night. Not only was there parking space up front, the parking space was right in front of the front door. Now, there were about 3 spaces on the left, 7 spaces on the right, and the parking space was right in front. I was connected with that space. That space is always there. These are the signs that you look for on the journey. This is when the water parts. You get a first-class seat. You get upgraded. You win a prize in a situation. You find money on the ground. I mean, you also start to live in a relaxed state. You're able to separate yourself from the feelings that created your guilt. You're no longer holding on to shame for past events that you did to yourself, and you're no longer holding on to guilt or let other people use guilt to control you. As you're able to live in that type of energy, you become a very, very effective listener. You become very skilled at not only asking questions, but skilled at answering questions. Answering and asking questions are an absolute skill. When you become a master asker and a master answerer and a master listener, then you're able to easily and effectively articulate your feelings into words. you're able to use 5 to 15 words that end with question marks. So you don't get put upon. You don't get put on the spot. You're not worried about making mistakes. You don't get in trouble. You're not consumed with being rejected. You're not concerned. You're in a state of being where there's no wrong answers. You're not focused on being wrong. You're not focused on being right. You're in a relaxed focus being you. You're being a being. And it's that be state that you're able to articulate your feelings easily and effectively. And it's in that be state that you're not concerned about coming up with the wrong answer. You don't get entangled in other people's chaos and drama because you're so highly evolved and highly aware emotionally that you can meet people where they are, understand why they do what they do, and easily and effectively let people go with no attachment, meaning you're detached from the situation, not from any arrogance or not from any control, because you understand the difference between someone who's in conflict with themselves, someone's using force to create a counterforce, while you live and stay in your power. When you become a very skilled listener, you hear the meaning of the words. You can tell the events that shape the communication style. When you're very skilled in listening, you will pick up when you ask someone a question that they didn't answer the question. You will understand why they're telling a story. Mid-story, you're able to use someone's first name and effectively interrupt them and ask the same question that never got answered the first time because you're able to connect with what's going on. When you can connect the dots, you're connectable. When you're able to connect, you're no longer disconnected. When you can see how disconnected other people are, you're connected yourself, understanding why they're disconnected. When you ask someone a question and watch them check out and they don't answer the question, you know now that it's going to take them about 3 to 8 seconds to articulate their feelings into some level of reaction. When you ask someone a question and they answer with you understand why they do that. Because you have become a student of the universe. You are one with. You're a student of people. And you understand that your product is always going to be people. And human beings are predictable, and you are so grounded and so connected that you understand why people do what they do. This becomes a life-changing experience when you no longer feel rejected, when you no longer set yourself up to be disappointed, when you're able to neutralize passive-aggressive personalities so that you don't feel violated. When you're in that space, you're in a whole different level of recovery. When you can go one day without being critical of yourself, that's another day of sobriety for yourself. I've had people say, I don't think I've ever gone a whole day in my life without being critical. And I've had people say this like it was noble, like that's what they're supposed to do. Many people believe that they're supposed to struggle. Many people also believe that you can't succeed without struggling. Well, that's a misnomer. You don't have to struggle to succeed. That is a wives' tale. Struggle is a self-induced set of circumstances that keeps a large percent of society in control of being disappointed. Waving the struggler's hit parade and waving the struggler's flag is not nobility, that's an addiction. When struggle is a way of life, struggle becomes your identity. If you struggle with money, if you're a struggleaholic, if you're a noble struggler, well, then you're disconnected from the rest of society. That relegates you to the other low-hanging fruit that you can commiserate with, and that's what many people do. They're so disconnected when they see an opportunity that they find a flaw. So when you're highly connected and you're emotionally aware and you understand when someone is a flaw finder, then you don't feel violated. You don't feel like you have to prove yourself to them. You don't have to break out the facts, benefits, and features. You don't have to go into a long dissertation drunkalogue to prove yourself right. You don't feel defensive and sensitive. You will notice that many people are highly sensitive and highly defensive. These people are not connectable. When you're a coach or they're in your team, they're not looking for insight, they're looking for conflict. When you can separate your feelings from the people who want conflict, you can disconnect so you can attract the people who are connected. In understanding connection and connecting, most of society is overwhelmed. It means they're disconnected from an outcome that's favorable. They talk overwhelmed, they live overwhelmed, they talk about being overwhelmed, and they attract other overwhelmed non-success seekers to fulfill their low self-esteem. Now, when you let go of being overwhelmed and you're not coming from how do I, letting go of being overwhelmed is not a how do I state, it's an I am state. When you start to live an organized, methodical, systematic life, where life becomes to have its own order, then connections begin to appear of like-minded success seekers that you can collaborate with. Your energetic, emotional energy will attract your reality, either people that will foster your purpose or will foster your addictions. When you're emotionally addicted at a high level of frequency, you will attract codependent people, perpetrators, violators, passive-aggressive people to your reality to fulfill that low self-esteem, to qualify and validate how disconnected you are. When you live in an I don't know state, you're disconnected from source. You're living in a very low level of energy, anxiety, fear, and doubt, perpetuating the same set of feelings over and over. When you become a very skilled master at communication, then you can effectively interview people, whether it's for business and life, because you are a skilled fact finder, you're a skilled rapport builder, you're skilled at small talk, you're skilled at people skills, you're able to easily and effortlessly articulate your feelings into words, you're not making mistakes, you're not tongue-tied, you're not tripping over your words, you're not making mistakes, you're not getting in trouble. Once again, when getting in trouble and making mistakes is a huge percent of your identity, then you will avoid the connections and relegate you only to speaking to people of your same emotional, energetic vibration. As you become skilled at the art of the interview, then you can find out a lot about people. The more you understand how people are fascinating, and the more you understand how they like to converse about themselves, and then you start to practice the art of the interview, 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. When you are a maven and you know a lot of content about what goes on in the world, it gives you a huge advantage to be able to communicate and connect with people. I know a lot about colleges, geography, sports, world history, what's going on in today's world, internet marketing, network marketing, sales, quantum physics. That's multi-skilled, multi-talented. When you're multi-skilled and multi-talented, it gives you multi-opportunities to ask people questions. When you're generally fascinated by people, when you show a genuine interest in someone who exhibits some warmth, you're also going to find that many people are so disconnected that they make no eye contact, there's no warmth, their sentence structure is not only is it short, but it's usually angry. They get offended very easily, and they're sensitive and defensive. These are typically people that you will tend to avoid because they will go out of their way to prove you wrong because being right is a huge percent of their identity. They'd rather be right than they would prosperous. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, then you will seek less conflict. You will feel violated less frequently. You will be so consumed with making mistakes, getting in trouble, and failing. You'll be more concerned and consumed with enjoying life. When you live in joy, it shows. You emanate it. When you emanate the feelings of joy, love, and bliss, people sense and feel it. They can tell that you're not a poser. They can tell that you are genuine. It means that people can sense and feel a sense in you that you are someone that is relatable. When you're able to relate to other people's challenges and problems, that's vulnerability. When you're able to state the facts without judging yourself or criticizing yourself, you're being honest. You're coming from integrity. When you live in rigorous honesty, you're no longer an emotional addict pathologically lying to yourself about how bad you are. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control, as you learn to live in a very relaxed, released body, then your ability to small talk, engage with people, fact find, and rapport build becomes an art. And in that ability to connect with people, you're able to find out a lot of content about people without being worried about them rejecting you, them getting pissed off at you, you being nosy, or any multitude of situations that a large percent of society has been conditioned to behave in. When you can take deep breaths frequently and breathe life into your body, you emanate a higher level of consciousness. It's that higher level of consciousness that you're able to attract your reality, people in situations of influence and affluence more frequently. When you're able to have relaxed conversations, when you're able to conduct a relaxed interview, when you're relaxed in your body, when you're not uptight, overwhelmed, anxious, concerned with failing, when you're focused on results, when you're living in the solution, you're no longer living in the problem. When you live in the problem, emotionally addicted to a set of feelings based on past events that have robbed you of your energy, it relegates you only to a percent of society that is as disconnected as you. When you're disconnected, how can you connect? Well, it's challenging because your story robs you of the opportunity. It's very common for people to put themselves beneath other people with stories like, I'm not good enough, I'm not sure if I could, I wouldn't know what to ask, I'm not educated. Education has no bearing on how well you can do and free enterprise. You don't have to be education. You require a PhD, maybe a public high school diploma, but you don't have to have any education to have inspiration. Your inspiration isn't about your education. Your inspiration is about your aspiration, and it's your aspirations that are driven by your inspiration. Your education is your left brain. That's your logical, egoic self. And you've been educated to live in your left brain and think logically. If you're going to sell, brand, and market, you're going to sell, brand, and market emotionally. People don't buy logically, they buy emotionally. When you're analytical, you're not looking for analytical people in an emotional business. You're not looking for you. You're looking for people who are more evolved. You're looking for people who have a sense of purpose. You're not looking for people who don't have goals. You're looking for people who are goal-oriented, who are goal-getters. You're not looking for goal-setters. You're looking for people who are goal-achievers. When you attract goal-achievers, they have a different definite of purpose. They live in a different level of clarity. As you begin to have clarity, that's a connection. When you become connected to a dream, connected to an outcome, when you are in purpose, purposeful, that's a connection because you feel connected to that. So you can make all the freaking dream boards in the world, but if you don't really believe them, you're just gluing pictures with paste, rubber cement, on big pieces of cardboard. Although that is a component, you have to be able to believe in the beauty of your dreams, the outcome of your dreams. You have to be able to salivate about your dreams, emotionalize your dreams, feel it, close your eyes and put your hand on the wall of your dream. If you've ever been to the Vietnam Wall and put your hand on it, it's a very spiritual experience. Or if you've ever been in sacred places in the world like I have, the Four Corners region, haunted places in a few places that I've been, the Haunted Mesa in the Four Corners region, very spiritual places like Mount Shasta, Lake Tahoe, and some of the places that Stonehenge and other situations and places like that where the energy is different. If you've ever been in vortex energy like in Sedona, Arizona, or places like that when you can actually feel the earth, when you are connected to Mother Earth, when you're in that kind of space, when you really transcend from being a logical being to a spiritual being, then you are connected. You are one with. When you can watch the news and know it's a veil and know what's going on behind the veil, then you're connected. When you understand who really makes the rules and you're not concerned with the rules, you learn to operate underneath the rules. When you live in that kind of energetic state, then you're not concerned with what's on constantly negative news. Your head's not in the sand because you're creating a new trail. You're starting to walk above the sand. When you're in that type of space, your attractor factor unequivocally changes. In that equanimity that you're delivering where there's no separation between you and the outcome, you are connected. When you're able to sit down and just absolutely drop into a meditative state, in a REM state, in an emotional brainwave state, that you're able to access the quantum field, when you're able to, on command, turn off the engine, then you're grounded, you're connected. When you're able to plant your left foot on the ground when you're right-handed, when you're able to move in your hips, when you're flexible, and you're able to adapt and adjust to the situation at hand, when you don't overwhelm yourself and spend time on the future that you can't control, when you let go of relationships that hinder you, block you, keep you emotionally addicted, when you're trying to control someone else, you're not connected, you're disconnected. When you're emotionally addicted to a set of feelings, your brain screams, please, take the edge off. When you realize there is no edge, there's nothing to you for control, and a lot of what you see is an illusion, you begin to live in a different dimension emotionally. You no longer see things so three-dimensionally. You're able to see beyond that which is physical. You're able to be able to see into the fourth dimension. You're able to see that which that many people can't see. When you're able to trust your intuition, when you absolutely know, then you can douse, you can trust your extrasensory perception, you can use pendulums, you can use all kinds of tools to really justify what you know. When you know that you know, there's no doubting what you know. When you start to really tap into your extrasensory perception, that sixth sense, that innate ability to know, you're connected. And it's in that kind of connection that brings a very powerful energy that many people can't resist. That energy is not controlled energy, that's relaxed energy. That kind of charisma energy is energy that people want to touch, they want to feel. It's that energy that people go, oh my God, I don't know what it is. And see, it's that kind of vibration when you're transmuting a vibrational energy at over 500 hertz or cycles per second, you are unequivocally stepping into synchronicity. It's that kind of energy that on command the parking space is there. People buy from you easily and effortlessly. Right before you go to bed, someone contacts you and you write the order up. One day back in 2007, on a Friday, right before Christmas, the very last Friday that I was going to an event, my very last event of the year, my phone rang on this very desk that I'm sitting in, on the Panasonic phone, a different model than it was 11 years ago. My phone kept ringing. And by the time my phone kept ringing, I had 26 voicemails. One of my clients, a gentleman named Chad Wade, who unfortunately has left this earth plane. Chad was one of the best collaborators, connectors that I ever had the privilege of sharing space with on many stages across the United States. He was the author of the highly inspiring book, Cracking the Producer's Code. Chad had suggested to his team that if they didn't hire me to be his coach, not to talk to him. Now, I realize that was an interesting way that he put it, but he sent 26 people to my voicemail over a short period of time. I sat down on my desk, called everyone back in the next few hours, and wrote up 15 coaching orders back in the day. That was mystical. That was magical. That was the hands-free zone. That was connected to source. Connected to source means when you have a direct connection, where you're able to receive at a very high level content that you can disseminate without having to explain to anyone how you knew it. You knew it because you knew it. You don't have to explain it because you knew it. When you know that you know, then you don't doubt what you know. And you know that you know, you don't have to explain what you know, because explaining what you know is irrelevant to people who don't know. Because the people who don't know are disconnected. You'll connect with people who do know, and those are the kind of people that you drive businesses with. Those are the kind of people that begin to show up and you rank advance in companies. This isn't hard. This isn't difficult. This is you going one day at a time without criticizing yourself. This is you letting go of the control that keeps you in control of being disappointed. This is you giving yourself permission to articulate your feelings into words without being consumed or worried about being rejected. When you're asked a question, you can answer it. Instead of checking out, you're checked in. Rather than saying, you use someone's name to answer a question. You take a word out of their conversation, you package it behind their name, and you finish the sentence. When you're connected, you finish sentences. I spend a great deal of my coaching time going, finish your sentence. Many of my clients will start a sentence, then they go in another rabbit hole. That means that they have challenges finishing tasks and duties. That means they're overwhelmed, unorganized, undisciplined, don't make their bed, don't finish tasks, are late on their taxes, late to the airport. That's what most of society does, is disconnected. When you are connected, you'll start to organize your life differently. You'll start to live more methodically. You start to live in very relaxed systems. You'll marvel at how overwhelmed the rest of society is as you start to live in the hands-free zone. You're going to live a lot longer life because you're not going to create the diseases that a large percent of society lives in. You're going to live a much quieter, humbler life because you become less consumed, you feel less consumed and attached to things that have less meaning to you. And you're able to let go of situations very quickly, and you know there is no loss because there's only gain. When you live in a place called gain, you don't focus on loss because you can't lose what you don't have. I was coaching someone today who he could not let go of how much money he lost in a situation. I said, you're focused on the wrong situation, dude. Focus on new money, not dead money. Many people focus on situations they don't have so they can justify the flaws that they live in. What's killing me is all the money I lost on those stocks. Well, why, it's not killing you. It's you're controlling the outcome of being disappointed. When you're no longer disappointable, you're connected. When you get disappointed easily, you're disconnected from your dreams. Your dreams don't respond to being disappointed. Your dreams respond to being inspired. The more you understand what inspiration is emotional, etheric energy. It's white light energy. It's violet energy. It's powder blue energy. It's not black energy. It's not gray matter. It's a very enhanced light of colors, and it's in those colors that you start to see your dreams in oranges, reds, blues. You're able to see the trees change in Telluride, California. You're able to see the snow-capped mountains before you ever get there. If you've ever been to Lake Tahoe and some of the peaks that I've skied on, 13,000 feet up, 11,000 feet up, I mean, it's godly up there. I mean, to smell that crisp California air on a lift on a double black diamond in a place called Kirkwood, on a place called The Wall. I mean, that, and if you've ever been to Pikes Peak or places like this, or you've ever been to Mount McKinley or Mount Lassen or Mount Shasta, or you've ever been to other situations and places of the Third Corniche in the French Riviera with the most beautiful views in the world of Monaco, Nice, Cannes, Teoul, that whole coast, or have you ever been in the inside in the Italian Riviera, Santa Margarita, Portofino? Have you ever been to Sugarloaf in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro? I mean, that tram you ride in? I mean, these are the situations that start to really give you a sense of purpose. Machu Picchu or any of the other places that you've dreamed of going, stop dreaming of it, be it. When you start to let go of, oh, wow, I'm a dreamer. No, you're not a dreamer, a schemer, or a scammer. You're someone who believes in the beauty of their dreams. When you believe in those beauty of their dreams, then they become real. Then you start to connect with them. Then the connections required of the people you're seeking, they begin to show up differently. Your communication has more meaning. People show up with more purpose. But when you have challenges articulating your feelings into words, you're disconnected. And articulating your feelings into words is a skill. When you start to understand cause and effect, you're articulating the events that shaped your feelings. But when you repress them, sit on top of them, don't understand them, I don't know why I do what I do, then you're living in a repressed emotional state, typically repressed anger, violation energy, rejection energy. Then you're going to be worried about being rejected. You're going to be worried about what you say, who you do, what you be. You're going to be worried about offending people. You're going to be worried about making a mistake, getting in trouble, saying the wrong thing. These are the situations that keep people disconnected. Being disconnected keeps you on the outside of recovery. When you embrace recovery, then you can be vulnerable. And that kind of vulnerability, you can sit in a room full of people and you can share your experiences without being anxious about being judged. When you have that kind of vulnerability, you are connecting, and other people will connect with your stories because now you become relatable. When you can relate to people through empathy, not sympathy, when you're empathetic, meaning you don't take on their energy, when you're sympathetic, you oftentimes will take on their energy and then it intoxicates you. When you attract emotional and spiritual vampires, get guilted into doing situations that don't serve you, then you'll be overwhelmed. And the back end of guilt is resentment. When you resent people for guilting you into a situation, then you get to feel disappointed. When you continually reject yourself to avoid being rejected, because that's what most people do, is they reject themselves by being critical, by being judgmental of themselves and others. When you're a flaw finder, finding the flaws that you see these people, that's their own anxieties about the events that they were violated in. When you let go of the people who violated you, the perpetrators who hurt you, when you begin to forgive yourself and you to begin to give others, your emotional vibrational energy changes because you no longer hold on. You let go. When you let go, you're able to separate your feelings from the events. You're now more connected to your present and your future. When you worry about your future, you have no connection. You're not grounded. You're grounded in the past. When you're grounded in the present with a vision of the future, it's a different level of energy. And when your left foot is in the past and your right foot is in the present, then you can't go into the future because you're dragging your past into the present, and there is no future because energetically you're grounded in the past. When you let go of the past, your association, when you change the meaning of what happened to you, your brain will create a placebo effect to create a meaning. When you start to understand what it meant, and you start to hear what's said versus what's meant, and you understand what it meant to you to go through what you've been through, when you change your meaning that you don't give it so much significance, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that created your low self-esteem. When you start to fact-find, rapport build means you relate with people. You're able to ask them where they went to college. Where did you go to law school? What do you do that inspires you? When you're able to relate with people, you're creating a rapport. And that kind of rapport is like, it's a connection. When you're able to connect with people, people begin to lower their resistance. Price tends to not matter. When someone asks you what the price is, they're not consumed with value. They're concerned with the cost. It means they're cost conscious, not value conscious. This is why you constantly raise your value. You don't raise your rates. Your value raises. Your standards raise. When you have standards, see, many people have high standards and then low actions. When you have exceptional habits and high standards that you can meet daily, and you also don't expect other people to live up to your standards because most people won't. When you're disciplined, organized, detailed, methodical, systematic, when you live in those kinds of situations, many people label you as OCD, neurotic, or any multitude of situations. They don't understand that you can perform to a set of standards that only are your standards. When you're able to have exemplary habits, when you're able to create spontaneous excellence, and you don't put pressure on anyone else to live like you will, then you'll attract a few people who do live like that. That becomes the law of the few who begin to show up because you have no attachment. When you're able to detach from the past and not have an attachment to the future, and you know the future is in process, and you're willing to go through this process without saying, I'm not where I should be. I should be further along. No false or fact was ever stated. If you should be further along, then you would be there. You're right where you are because of the actions and inactions. You're right where you are because of the events that shaped your feelings. And you have to stop being disappointed about where you are. Embrace where you are with rigorous honesty. Be open, objective. Be real. Be authentic. Be genuine. Embrace where you are because it's not always going to be where you are. When you're consumed and you continue to find the flaws in where you are and you blame other people for your feelings, then you live in rejection energy. So you'll attract your reality people who will reject you. You'll create a story about being rejected when people don't even reject you. When someone tells you they're not interested, they're not going to buy now, get back with them, any multitude of objections, you'd have to hear what is meant, not what's said. When you're able to connect, you can connect with someone's objection because you understand it. You're not attached to their objection, but you understand it. You're not going to follow up and follow through with someone who's not a qualified buyer because you have common sense. And in common sense, you understand what to do and not how to do it. When you know what to do, you don't get overwhelmed with how do I. When you trust your feelings, you don't doubt yourself. When you doubt yourself, then you avoid. When you trust, you move forward. When you trust your feelings, you're not in doubt. You don't have to ask other people's opinions. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking someone for some insight, but when you continue to require other people to validate you, then you're not valuable. When you have to be validated, then you're not validatable. You require someone else to give you self-esteem, and since you're never good enough, no matter how many people tell you you're good enough, you'll never be good enough until you let go of the events that shape those feelings. When you begin to live here and now, when you're present, then you begin to minimize the past. When you're present, you no longer worry about the future because you're creating it right here in the present. The future is now because you're already creating the present. You know what's about to happen because you trust the outcome. You trust source. You trust the process. But if you don't trust the process, it's because you don't trust yourself. And if you don't trust yourself, you're going to be in doubt, and then you'll attract your reality, people and situations that you won't be able to connect with. As a master asker, as a master connector, that means energetically, wherever you go, people feel you. You don't have to tell people how good you are. They can tell because of how relaxed you are. When you're as cool as the other side of the pillow, when you have ice in your veins, when you're cool, when you're suave, when you're in any of these kind of situations, when you have relaxed swag, that's not fake arrogance. You don't fake it till you make it because you're not fake. You're real. You're genuine. When you understand in recovery what rigorous honesty means, then you don't pathologically lie about situations. You don't have to worry about the stories you told yesterday because you don't ever tell them. You're able to state the facts. You're able to fact find, rapport build. You're able to create relationships because you are relatable. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to being rejected, abandoned, or violated, now you live in a level of conscious awareness. It's that conscious awareness that you gradually evolve into love, joy, bliss, and enlightenment. It's in that enlightened state that you live in a no state. It's in that synchronistic, no separation from me and the outcome that you begin to magnetize and polarize your reality, the situations you seek to attract rather than the situations you seek to avoid. When you seek to avoid a situation and you give energy into what you avoid, you attract what you avoid to fulfill your disappointment. When you're connected to purpose and your purpose is greater than your problem, then you're purpose-driven. When your problem is greater than no purpose, because most people have no purpose. When you have no purpose, then you're tiptoeing quietly through life, waiting to arrive at your grave so safely. As you can let go of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, then you're no longer the mind-body connection that shaped your anxiety. As you're here and you're now, and you're able to connect with self and others, then you're speaking a different type of unconscious, conscious language to people who now know, and they trust you before you even speak. But when you're concerned with what are people going to think about this industry I am, you know, this industry gets a lot of negative publicity. It doesn't. The publicity you're giving it is the negativity that you will attract. So you'll hear people say, I don't get that. I don't. People don't say that to me. You'd want to understand this. So seldom if ever did anyone ever ask me if I was in a pyramid. I seldom ever got criticized by the industry I'm in because it just doesn't happen to me. When it doesn't happen to you, it doesn't happen to you. It'll happen to other people because they attract it, then they will understand why they do it or how it shows up because they're so sensitive and defensive, they can't let go of being right. See, I knew this would happen. When you're concerned with results and solutions and you're not concerned with being right, you're concerned with your purpose not being right. Many people would rather be right than prosperous. Jeffrey Combs, president and founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call is officially a call tonight in the books and will be available for Podomatic and download tomorrow, Wednesday, at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, noon Eastern Standard Time. Next Tuesday night, Edward Griffin, the creature from Jekyll Island, highly acclaimed author, will be my guest. Looking forward to connecting with you next Tuesday. This call is officially a call. For anyone who'd like to take advantage of a free 15-minute coaching session, feel free to reach out to me to my inbox with your phone number, and I will get back to you in a relatively short period of time. You have a great evening.